King, Mr. Mayawati says as he strolls out onto the deck. He is large and slow-footed, his scent a blend of sweat and curry. I have noticed that you are always reading. I put down the book. Yes? Mr. Mayawati's face is the color of meat slow-roasted on a skewer. He wears a white linen shirt, already moist in the armpits, and baggy flannel pants. I hope I do not disturb you, he says, as he reaches the chair beside me. Not at all, I tell him. Mr. Mayawati grabs the front of his shirt and slaps it against his chest. So hot, so early here. It is a heat that doesn't come from the sun above us, I tell Mr. Mayawati, but from the earth below, waves of it rising from our planet's molten core. A gift from hell, you might say. This observation appears faintly to unsettle Mr. Mayawati, so that he quickly moves to a different subject. What summons you so far upriver? He asks casually. Things I haven't seen. Mr. Mayawati laughs, and in his laugh I see the avuncular charm that is no doubt his most effective tool, a salesman of himself. How could one refuse to go where he directs, accept what he offers, buy whatever he has to sell? And you? I ask him. I have been made rootless by circumstances, Mr. Mayawati answers with a sad shake of the head. With a fat man's groan, he lowers himself into the chair and drops his hands onto the great bulk of his stomach. A gold tooth glints brightly when he smiles. But I was born in Amritsar, where the massacre was. Mr. Mayawati is quite obviously surprised by the fact that I know his remote birthplace, its history, the savage slaughter that took place there. Ah, but that evil was avenged, was it not? Mr. Mayawati says with a broad grin. O'Dwyer, wasn't that his name? The Brit who thought it was all quite proper to slaughter Indians. The smile widens even more. Shot down in London some years later, wasn't he? He was, yes, I tell him. A sweet vengeance, Mr. Mayawati says with satisfaction. He laughs. It is a good feeling, is it not, when an evil man does not get away with his crime? I nod. A very good feeling. The smile I offer him has the feel of a forged document. You've been made rootless by circumstances, you said. Mr. Mayawati releases a great sigh and peers out into the jungle thickness. Yes, he says mournfully. In my own country, I am an outcast. His lowly status has made him a vagabond, he adds, so that he now roams the world in search of safe harbor. I wish only to live in peace, he tells me. Is that so much to ask? When I don't answer, he glances at the book in my hand. To my sorrow, I read very little. He thinks I haven't heard him, that his voice has died beneath the rattle of the boat's ravaged engine, and so he raises his voice to hold my attention. I see you read Spanish. Yes. And the book you are reading, may I ask what it is about? A man who disappeared in Juarez, I tell him. An official of some sort, Mayawati asks. No, a man who killed several children, I tell him. They found some of their bloodstained clothing in his house. But the man himself was gone. Without a trace. Mr. Mayawati waves his hand dismissingly. No one disappears without a trace. The deck chair releases a little child's weak cry as he shifts his weight. I give no credit to such stories. I look over the boat's unpainted rail, the river beyond it, the mist that boils up from its murky depths. Mr. Mayawati swabs his neck with a red handkerchief. His face has the rounded folds of one long unable to control a ravenous appetite. I prefer